Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game, and the only reason Marquise Munson, producer, would break from
it.
His...
Just let it play for a little bit. Just let it.
Sorry?
Just let it play for a little
bit. I'm not supposed to. I'm supposed to, you know, get to content, Marquise.
Okay, now you can talk.
The only reason he would not, thank you, Munson, would not play Christmas music today, because every break so far he's played nothing but Christmas music. The only reason he would break for that...
Well, that was that a Christmas strategy. Song, but you just didn't let it play. He said it's a Christmas song.
Oh, if you say it in the song, it becomes a Christmas song?
Yes.
Hey, it's just like Die Hard. It happened on Christmas.
Don't get me started.
Curtis Blow raps on Christmas is a Christmas song.
You guys are taking away time from my holiday surprise to our audience.
Hey, man, this is fire right
Teron
now.
Teron Davenport from ESPN, the Teron Davenport, just TD. Wandering around our studios. I said, hey, you want to talk a little Titans football, man? And you said... Sure, why not?
It's TD on the air.
Teron Davenport with us this morning.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Man, I left my charger in here
Thank
on
God.
Friday.
And, thank goodness.
I had to come in and scoop it up, man.
So you had enough power then to go to the stadium, do all your work. That's good. You didn't need to charge it.
Well, you know, it's just like who wants to be a millionaire? You know, you got to use a phone, a friend, lifeline. My guy, Dan Graziano.
And you got to charge him.
Yeah, there you go. Had to borrow his charger. It's ESPN. They give us these old Lenovo laptops. The only other guy to have one was another ESPN.
Lenovo. It sounds like a hockey player. I think he plays for the Flyers, actually, Lenovo. Two massive ways to walk away. Big picture, 10,000-foot view of yesterday's 38-28 loss to the Saints for the Titans. And that is, you know, again, you played a really tough game against a great team. You went toe-to-toe. You know, outside of a bad non-targeting call at the end of the game, you may have had a chance to either tie it or take the lead in the final minutes without Derrick Henry, without Adoree Jackson in a game that literally meant nothing to your playoff chances. That's one way you can look at it. Or you can look at it and say all the things that cost us the game are things that are wrong with the team. Special teams can't cover a kick to save your life. The secondary issues, not able to stop Michael Thomas, no pressure on Drew Brees in the second half, offensive line issues. So one's the sky is falling, the other one's totally fine. Are you somewhere in the middle? Which side do you fall on?
I think you need to be somewhere in the middle. That's really the bottom line. There are some good points that you could pull out of it like you did, but there are some areas for improvement that you could point to like you did. And the thing is, this team should not expect to just make the playoffs. Like, you don't go out there and practice to make the playoffs. You practice to go on a run. And the only way you're going to be able to go on a run is if you shore up some of these things that needed to be better yesterday. That's really the bottom line.
Yeah, you're right. I think one of the problems can be potentially fixed, and that's the offensive line. I think when Derrick Henry's in a game, the pass rush tends to be a little different. They're going against Houston. The Houston doesn't have a pass rush. I'm sure they're going to try to stop Derrick Henry, but they did the last game and couldn't, and he was about 80%. That secondary, at this point, I don't think there's anything that they can do. They play well in the first half, but then in the second half, this is my concern. 77% of the passes went to one guy.
Right.
And they couldn't stop him.
Yep.
The week before, they couldn't stop Hopkins. Even with Adoree Jackson, having not played in so many games, you can't then expect him to come out there and be that shutdown guy.
Right.
I don't know what they do moving forward about this secondary, because at this point, without a rush, they did get some sacks. Yesterday, but the second half was different. Without a rush, I don't see this team going far, even if they make it in the playoffs.
Yeah, and that's the problem. And they're trying to find ways to manufacture a pass rush. You see Jarrell Casey moving to outside and playing inside. And I tell you,
50th sack yesterday, by the way. Congrats to Jarrell Casey in his career.
Yeah, and I tell you, you're speaking of sacks, Derek Roberson. Listen, man, I was very, very pleased to see the results that he put out there yesterday. So he's someone that could help. They need to go ahead and bring Sharif Finch back and figure out, you know, how to get him in that lineup. But you're right. I mean, that secondary, you know, Michael Thomas has 17 targets.
Mm-hmm.
17 targets. And a lot of it was against zone. You know, you see him settling into windows and stuff like that. But he did beat man defense multiple times. But here's the thing. It's not just the cornerbacks.
Mm-hmm.
You will rarely, you hear me, rarely hear me say something bad about Kevin Byard. But
he got exposed yesterday.
Yeah. You know, 3rd and 13, he gave up a 26-yard reception to Michael Thomas. Jarrett Cook
in the end
beat him for a 6. Now, I get it. The perfect pass is very hard to defend, but, you know, you're the highest paid safety in the history. You got to, you know what I mean? You got to do better. And it doesn't even come out smoothly, me criticizing Kevin Byard, because I'm not used to doing that. But, I mean, you got to be real about it. So, yeah, as a secondary overall. Then there was also that Alvin Kamara touchdown run, the one that happened on the second play of the third quarter.
Yeah.
Go back and watch Kenny Vaccaro. And I'm talking barely about Kenny Vaccaro.
What's going on with you? Are you all right today?
Hey, listen, man, I'm just keeping
it 100. Hey, call it how it is.
All right.
His angle was it was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It was. He had a terrible angle. He should have been able to cut Kamara off and not allow that to be a touchdown, but he didn't. So there were issues in the secondary against the run. There were issues against the pass. And you're right. I don't know how they fix that in this short amount of time.
And I would – well, maybe Deshaun Watson not playing would be helpful, and that there's a good chance he may not play a lot, at least. I will say we can add Jayon Brown to this mix, but I can't really be critical of Jayon Brown when he ends up man-to-man on Michael Thomas. I don't really think that's a fair matchup for him. But even he was getting beat in pass coverage. And I'm going, man, these are like the best players doing what they're supposed to do and not getting the job done.
Yeah, and it's just, man, listen. I will raise my hand and say I was off on my Michael Thomas evaluation. I felt he was a good route runner. I thought that some of these guys that had him as their number one receiver in that class were a little off. You know what I mean? But that dude is just – he's the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the thing. Last week against the Texans, for the most part, outside of two plays, they had Hopkins contained. One of those plays was an off-schedule play where he was running that dig route, and he slammed on the brakes and reversed back towards the sideline he came from as Watson scrambled over, and that was a 35-yard gain.
Mm-hmm.
Not really much you could do on that one. But one of his other big gains came when he ran, they did a divide concept, which they always do. Will Fuller runs that deep post from one side. Hopkins runs the dig.
And Byard couldn't cover it.
And, it's like, okay, you want me to cover both of these? I can't do it.
Right.
He tried to, and he was almost there, but I bring that up because why? Will Fuller's not going to be playing on Sunday. He had the groin issue, you know, that came up on Saturday. And then in addition to an already bad hamstring, he's not going to be playing. And I said it before, I'll say it again. Fuller is like a Lamborghini or Maserati, right? A high-end sports car. A lot of maintenance is required to keep something. It goes fast, but it's a lot of maintenance that you have to put into getting that right. So he's not going to be playing. So that should help the Titans somewhat this week, but after this week, I don't know what to say.
Well, I think the thing that really helps him, and I think we talked about this last week, is that in regards to Hopkins and Thomas, I still believe that Hopkins, to me, he's the best receiver in the league, hands down.
You won't get a dispute from me either.
But here's the difference. Sean Payton calling plays and Bill O'Brien calling plays. If Sean Payton's calling plays for Houston, Hopkins is catching what Thomas is catching. That's the X factor with the Titans. They play when they're matched up against Bill O'Brien. I don't think Bill O'Brien's a good coach. I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
And the Titans know it, too. That's why they play them the way that they play them. Bill O'Brien, he doesn't know how to call plays. Sean Payton, on the other end, you saw the adjustment they made in the second half. And they started to move Thomas around, putting him in positions where he can succeed.
Mm-hmm.
Bill O'Brien doesn't do that with Hopkins. Hopkins has to sort of manufacture all of these catches that he make because he's not in a position to be this scot-free wide open on a route where Thomas is all the time.
They bind him up in the slot.
Yeah, yesterday. It's just that's why I trust the Titans against Bill O'Brien and not necessarily against the Sean Payton.
I don't think either of us, Teron, disagree with what you're saying about Bill O'Brien and Sean Payton. One guy's got a Super Bowl. The other guy's never really made it out of the first round of the playoffs. But I will say this. He did get Kenny Stills matched up in slot against Logan Ryan and beat him for touchdowns. Right? In man-to-man coverage. I'm just saying that it's not like there's still not issues for the Titans against the Texans this weekend.
Kenny Stills is a really good receiver. You know,
Dude can run.
He's just very underrated. But, I mean, I just, outside of that divide concept, that's really the only way that they get Hopkins open. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And you don't see a concentrated amount of plays being called to get him open, like you said, like Sean Payton does. Or even, you know, I'll be honest, the Titans do a really good job of calling plays to get A.J. Brown. Mm-hmm. Now, yesterday was a little bit different.
I want to ask you about that, too.
But, yeah.
But they went after Corey Davis a few times on purpose because they knew Lattimore was all over Brown. And some of the times it worked. A couple of those crossing routes, a couple of play-action passes.
A couple of receptions, play-action, like you said,
And I know, Teron, we'll talk to you normally on Friday, so we do appreciate you helping us out. A little double dip here on the holiday week. But it feels like, just talking to you in the last few minutes, it feels like you're leaning Titans over the Texans in the final week. They get into the playoffs and they go to Kansas City. It's what the vibe I'm getting from you.
Yeah, no, I am. I'm leaning towards that. And I'm leaning towards A.J. Brown having at least 75 yards receiving and joining this man to my left as one of the Titans' 1,000-yard receivers.
There's not many of them. It's a short list. It's like Derek Mason, Nate Washington, Derek Mason.
There's not many.
And I'm not including tight ends.
I was going to say Delaney. Cam Lee, my guy Delaney out, man. Yeah. but All no, right. quickly, and sort of brought that up in regards to A.J. Brown. What did you see? Because I can't wait to watch the All-22. Because before this game, I said, this is the measuring stick for me with A.J. Brown. Mm-hmm. They're going to match you up with the best corners going to go with you. To me, this is a measuring stick for me in regards to him. Now, he has a long way to go. I know that. But this is the game where if you do what you need to do, then people are going to look at you totally different. Yeah. And it just didn't happen. Tell me, were they doing something that I didn't see that I will see once I watched All-22?
And looking back on it, the only thing I could think of, because I haven't watched it again, so I'm through the same sunglasses as you're going through. But I remember a couple times where Lattimore was able to get hands on him and slow him up at the top of the route. But one of those times he got called. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It was, if I remember correctly, it was kind of back and forth. Okay. But it just seemed like Tannehill was moving away from a lot. So I'm not sure. And actually, come to think of it, Tannehill admitted that. He said, by no means did Lattimore lock A.J. Brown down. Mm-hmm. There were multiple times where when he went back and looked at the still shots, A.J. was winning on the backside of the route.
Mm-hmm. He went away from his progression too quickly.
He was not even getting there.
And he did throw him the ball a couple of times early, and they were called back for penalties because they were making a big deal on the broadcast about in the fourth quarter he hadn't been targeted yet. And I was like, well, I mean, you know, if you complete a pass for 8 yards, technically that's a target and a reception, even though it was holding and you get the call back or whatever. So anyway, we can go round and round on all this stuff. It's a fascinating game to me because, as a guy whose job it is to analyze this stuff, I can find so many positives about yesterday in a game that literally meant nothing to your playoff chances. And then at the same time, I'm like, why can this team never get a stop on defense when it needs to? It didn't against Houston, and it didn't yesterday. And that's something you got to be worried about in a playoff game because, like you said, the point isn't just to get there. That's fun. That's nice. It makes for a great weekend, and we get to celebrate a playoff appearance and have fun as a city. But what's the real reason you're doing all this stuff? To win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So, Teron, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Safe travels.
Thanks,
and we'll talk to you on Friday,
yes,
man.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
Thanks for coming by. Give us a few minutes.
Yeah, no problem.
Randomly. all right. I do want to talk because Teron did not talk himself up enough there. Uh-huh. There was one guy who had a great game yesterday, and it's his first time he ever really got snaps all season. And I want to talk about that man when we come back right here on Morning Drive. ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.